parents were single parents. Is this where you wanted to be? Okay. One thing I'd like to share with you that was an exciting thought to me as I was preparing for this workshop was that for an unknown number of years, God's own son was raised in a single parent home. You know, we read in the scriptures that Joseph was in Jesus' life through his 12th year, but really, from the 12th year on, there's no reference to Joseph. And I just got to thinking about that, and I thought God really identifies in all ways. And Christ did. You know, he really came up in a single home. And, of course, those are all the years that we don't know anything about. And yet God does, and so he's certainly able to communicate with us on that. And then there's a terrific little book that if we have time, I'll go in with it sitting on the book table. And I would encourage you to buy a copy. All the books out there are 40% off. So that's, you know, an excellent price. But it's a hug, a kiss, and a kick in the pants. And this is on creative alternatives to discipline. And it isn't that children don't need a hand on the back sort of low down periodically, because they really do. But this book has just been real beneficial. Matter of fact, we have time. I can share how I've used it with my 24-year-old. But she says in here, and I thought it was tremendous, she said, "I should have known child rearing wasn't going to be easy when it started with something called labor." And I thought that was really apropos. Why don't we just open this workshop with prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, you're here in this room with us. We would just ask that you make your presence very real, and Lord, that you would be the communicator. You've certainly been working in the hearts of the women who have come into this room today, and I know you've been working in mine just in praying for them previous to coming here and in putting these thoughts together. And yet, Lord, we want to know what your thoughts are and what your directions are, and we're here because we have a common concern, and that's our children. And you tell us that our children are our joy and our reward, and sometimes, Lord, just very honestly, I know in tears there have been times I have wept and thought, what did I ever do to deserve them if they're my joy and my reward? And yet they are your great gift to us. And you do give us a terrific responsibility, Lord, and yet you are the enabler. And we just ask that you anoint this time and anoint our hearts and anoint my mouth, and that you would be honored and glorified. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to feel real free to sort of read from my notes. I have really done a lot of reading and looking at a lot of things, really wound up with too much information in a lot of respects, but there's a lot out there. Child raising as a whole is tough. Keeps you on your knees. It's a demanding job for any two people. There are no easy solutions or answers. It can be scary. It can be frightening. It can be exhausting when you're a parent. It can be hurting. It makes you think sometimes that you're in the wrong occupation, or however you want to put it. And the real difference when you're a single, and this I think it was over James Dobson, I really respect his wisdom and his counsel. And I think he's the one who said this, the difference when you're single is that when you're buffaloed and don't know what to do next, there's no reinforcement in the wings. I have a terrific husband, and he's very supportive of me. You know, we've been able to work together. And, you know, to be real honest, I really went on my knees with this workshop because I thought, Lord, I certainly can't stand up as saying I've walked in your moccasins. But I dealt a lot with singles. We've had worked with a single, we worked with teens for years and years and worked with a single ministry for years. And certainly have worked through divorces and deaths and unwed mamas and, you know, pretty much all the situations. And so my heart is really very much wanting to communicate with you. But I would have to say that I've always had reinforcement in the wings as far as the flesh, the man standing there behind me. And so it's tough. I don't think there's any way of putting it. It's real tough. But I want to tell you something that I believe truly makes a difference. And it's the word but. It's tough, but. And one reason I always love it when I read in the Bible, and boy, you'll read about somebody having a real struggle, and then it'll say, but. And invariably it says, but God. And it comes up with God and with His all-sufficiency. There's a little verse that I have really enjoyed. It's in 2 Samuel 22, 19 and 20, and it said, they assailed me on my day of disaster. But Yahweh, I'm reading the Jerusalem Bible. I happen to really enjoy the term Yahweh for the name of God. But Yahweh was my support. He freed me. He set me at large. He rescued me since He loves me. It's terrific as you start reading through the scriptures, and I'll give you some other verses later, how many times God says, I love you. There's a point where we desperately need to hear that from other people. But nowhere does it make a greater impact on your life as it does coming from God. So it's tough, but God. Dobson said, a single parent is not really alone. And as I wrote that down, I had to think, do I really believe that? A single parent is not really alone. He or she has the support, love, direction, and guidance of the Creator of children. The very person who brought these little ones made it possible that the sperm of a man would unite with the egg of a female and a new life forms. I just went in the other day to see an ultrasound on this fourth little grandbaby. We really have six grandbabies. This is just my daughter's fourth one. And that was an utter miracle to me. I couldn't. The baby's still small. She was only about 16, 17 weeks along. And you needed the doctor's wisdom sort of to tell you what was there. But all of a sudden, up shot these two little legs. Just perfectly formed, tiny little legs. They couldn't have been as long as my little finger, with these perfect little feet, and you could even see the toes. And then all of a sudden, up shoots a hand, and you could just see this little hand and these fingers. And I thought, you know, what a miracle. And God created that. And boy, that's life. So the single is not really alone. She has the support, love, direction, and guidance of the Creator of children. He knows the answers and solutions to the problem far better than anybody. Draw strength from Him. He is there and will help and guide. There's a verse in the Amplified Bible. It's Hebrews 13:5, and it says, be satisfied with your present circumstances. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. There's another little verse tucked over in Numbers 23:19, and it says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? You haven't gotten to the position of a single parent without, you know, there being untruths and hurts and a lot of emotions in your life. And sometimes it's easy to transfer that to God, to think God doesn't come through and that God doesn't care, or God, why have you put me in this position in the first place? And I'm in a responsibility that it is too awesome for me to handle. But, you know, Jean was emphasizing today, and I really appreciate it because it literally makes a difference in me being able to get up in the morning, is that God is sovereign. Nothing happens. I believe this with all my heart. Nothing happens or can touch my life that God hasn't allowed it to happen. And when he's allowed it to happen, he promises in Romans 8:28 that he will work it out for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his promise. And in Romans 8:29, not only says he works it out for good, but he's using it to conform me to the image of his son. There are consequences that happen from the choices we make in life. A dear, dear little gal. Matter of fact, I hope I have time to read some of the things she wrote down. At 17, had a baby out of wedlock. And, you know, she made some wrong choices. But I tell you what, she is a jewel to me. I love her dearly. I'm seeing God work in her life. She kept her baby. She came through a divorce, you know, then married another man. That didn't work out, divorced, and she's now married to another man. And God's not handicapped. Let me read something to you here. This was from a magazine, well, with the Campus Crusade magazine. My glasses aren't helping from that distance. Okay. This is called an article called No Regrets. And I just want to read a few things to it. It says, the aspect of mothering that excites me the most is knowing I am making a permanent difference in my children's lives. I am a woman of influence. I impart values, stimulate creativity, develop compassion, modify weaknesses, and nurture strengths. I can open life up to another individual. And I can open an individual up to life. In 5, 10, 20, even 40 years into the future, what will I wish I had done today? We want to avoid reaching the end of our lives with regret. Therefore, we must look ahead, decide what is really important, and plan to live accordingly. Our days are full of opportunities. Sometimes I get up the day and I think, instead of rejoice, this is the day the Lord has made, I think, yuck. You know? But if I can just learn to think, this is a day full of opportunity to me to invest in the life of my children. And it says, it is true, just like with this young gal, we cannot redo or undo what we've already done. You know, that little life exists. That boy's now about 13 years old. Tall, strapping, good-looking kid. Our past mistakes and neglects can't be eradicated, nor can all of the present consequences of our sin be erased. But God, there it is again, isn't that neat? But God will still forgive us and raise something beautiful from the ashes of our mistakes. It may be too late for us to have a better influence in our grown children's lives, but with God, it is never too late. Boy, that carries me through lots of times. I've made mistakes in my kids' lives that I don't like to think about. But God, it's never too late in his economy. God can work quite apart from us. He may use others. He may allow us to have a part only through prayer. But it's never too late for God. That really, when Jean was reading that poem about that young boy walking into the room and hearing his name on his mother's lips in prayer, you know, for that was just her heart for her kids. There is no other advice anybody can give you that's going to be any more effective but to faithfully lift your kids up before God's throne and to seek God's direction in the lives of your kids. Something she referred to in here really takes us to Isaiah 61:3, and it says that God will give us beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And that's what he's given this young girl. She came through an awful lot of rough times, but he has given her beauty instead of ashes now, or an oil of gladness instead of mourning. And then the next verse, and it's so super, the continuation of that verse rather, says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I claimed that back in 1985. I wrote it down in my Bible. I claimed that verse. Matter of fact, it was in July of 1985 for my family, that my children would be called, my children, my husband, would be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Well, how practically do you draw strength from God? And I'm going to tell you something. It's no pat, trite answer. It's just what really works. And it's just what Gene was laboring about in there. It's spending time with him, getting to know him. You did that through dating. You really sought time with the guys that you dated through the years. You wanted to spend time with them. I'm that way with my husband now, and I find I get to know him more. We've been married almost 30 years, and I'd rather be with him than anybody I know. And I believe one reason that's true is because we do spend so much time together, and there's a lot of interchange and exchanging of thoughts and ideas. And I was introduced years ago. I became a Christian when I was 16 years old, but I didn't know that was to make a difference in my life. And then when I was 25, I heard about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and that he wanted to spend time with me. And y'all, that has just changed my life. Every day of the world, I get up in the morning and I potty and I brush my teeth and I brush my hair and I wash my face, and then I go get a cup of hot tea and I sit in a chair and have a quiet time. Now, it's easier to do. My children are gone, and it's easier to do now. When they were little, I spent many a quiet time with Mickey bouncing on my back. You know, lots of times I had to have it late at night after everyone had gone to sleep. But it was impressed upon me that I needed that desperately. You all like to eat? Me and I do. And unfortunately, I'm pushing the heavier side towards 50, you know, and I don't handle food like I used to. For the first time in my life, I have a tummy, and I never had a tummy in my life, you know, and I just don't handle food as well. But maybe that's because I still eat like I did when I was 20, and I was skinny as a string bean, you know, but I like to eat. Well, you get to know God through his word, and that is just as physical food makes a difference in your life, and it's what develops you. That's the way God's word is to you spiritually. My dad died of cancer, and he actually starved to death. He couldn't eat from July until October when he died, and he really malnourished and starved to death. And as I was rubbing his back one day, God said, Tommy, that's a picture of what you look like as a Christian if you're not in my word. He said, you are malnourished if you're not growing in my word. I guarantee you, well, my children got to the point, they knew it was so important in my life. If something happened that I missed my quiet time, or if I came up with too sharp of a reply or something, they'd say, Mom, didn't you have your quiet time today? They knew it made a difference. And I wanted them to see that it made a difference in my life. So, how practically do you draw strength from him? You just get to know him intimately. Gene shared the verse with you from Philippians 3:10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. If I want to do the best thing for my children, it's get to know God. And I'm not saying that as a religious cliche. I'm saying it as total truth. I don't know what I would have done to my children if it hadn't been for a relationship with Jesus Christ. Periodically, Nick's 24 years old, and he'll say something about, boy, this is a terrific home, isn't it? And I'll say, why is it, Nick? I know, it's because of Jesus Christ. And I'll say, that's right, and don't say it glibly, because you can just thank your lucky stars that he's in this home. I don't know what I've done to Mick. He has some physical problems, and he's not been a boy to, he's not excelled sports-wise. He's been sort of what the world calls weird. You know, he's not had a lot of friends. He's so square. But boy, he's a neat kid. Neat young man. But there would have been a time I couldn't handle that, because I would have wanted him to perform, you know, to reflect upon me, and so that I could have, you know, seen these accomplishments through him. And God's showing us his character and his values and his care for older people. The children in church call him Uncle Mickey. God starts giving us a real perspective of what's value. And I would have missed all that. I would have missed it totally. You know what real security is? First of all, real security is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is Colossians 1:27. And you're only going to know that as you get to know him intimately, and you're going to know him intimately through the Word, through prayer, and through other believers, which you're going to hear. If you go to another workshop right after this, and you will, you'll have an opportunity to go, I would encourage you, if you have not developed a consistent, regular, quiet time in your lives, I would really encourage you to go to that workshop. That will do more to benefit your children than anything you'll get out of this workshop. It'll do more to heal you than anything that you'll do. The basics remain the same. That's why I really decided I could get up here with single parents and share, because truth is truth. Basics don't change. There are absolutes in this world. God is love. God is good. The Word does not return to him void. He promises that. Single parenting is harder to do. And I'm going to make this comment. I heard it the other day, and I think it's true. I am not advocating divorce, but I think this is a good comment. It is better to be in a healthy single-parent situation than a sick two-parent situation where the children greatly suffer. And if that decision has been made and you're a single parent, God tells us he becomes father to the fatherless. Consequently, I think if a dad is raising single children, God becomes mother to the motherless. God becomes that other parent. I am seeing it work with single parents in our church that are getting to know God and letting him become that to them. Don't let your circumstances, you may think I'm laboring this point, but I think this is really valid. Don't let your circumstances be your excuse to not be healthy. Philippians 4:11, and here again, this is from Amplified. I like this. For I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I would have to paraphrase that a little. I'd have to say, for I am learning to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am in. I love it. I think God allows us to adapt his Word to where we are. Paul was able to say, I have learned, I'm not at that point. But it's followed by Philippians 4:13, and it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can be a single parent if that's where I find myself, because Christ strengtheneth me. I want you to look on your handout on page, I guess it's page 1, suggested goals. And I adapted a little verse here. And just think a minute. Have you ever really thought through goals for your children? At the bottom of the page, this was in a tape we used to teach years and years ago, I'd rather aim at perfection and fail than aim at imperfection and succeed. In other words, you need to make goals, and they need to be goals that are worthy of the lives of your children. And I'd rather aim at that direction, even if I fail, than not have any goals and just succeed horribly. But I adapted this verse in Colossians 1:28. It says, I proclaim him, admonishing and teaching my children with all wisdom, so that I may present my children perfect in Christ. The next verse after that says, to the end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Isn't that neat? God knows, you know, he knows, in other words, what he's telling me, what he's telling us today in this room, is that he knows it's labor, and that he knows it's struggling, but he says, I am the enabler. I'm giving you the energy. You can do this in my strength. That's encouraging to me. His energy, which so powerfully works in me. These were some goals that my daughter set up for her children. And I just borrowed them from her and put it down. But I would really suggest that you start another sheet and just put down spiritual goals, character goals, practical goals. And you just go before the Lord and see what it is you're really wanting to develop in the lives of your children. And then once you put them down, these are the ones that Diana put down. And then what you need to do is go back and pray over those goals. On the spiritual goals, Lord, I would just pray that these three little guys know that you love them, that they're special in your lives. I would just pray that they have a hunger for you and that they would have a heart to be obedient to you and to walk in your ways and that their walk would be victorious. Just however you want, but just take that and maybe, say, for a week, just take some of the goals and maybe pray through them. Find verses of Scripture that reinforce it in your life. This encourages you on how you're going to direct them. It makes us stop and think a lot when we have confrontations with them. It helps me remember that, hey, they are people of value. You know, one of the things we need to do with our kids is treat them with respect. We always think in terms of kids treating parents or adults with respect, and we forget that we need to treat them with respect. And I think sometimes when we have goals and we have in mind where we're going, this helps us have more respect for our children. So I would just encourage that for you, to take these goals, make a list out, and do that. Just practically, there are some things I want to get into with you. One is that very obviously what we need to do is love our kids, and sometimes that's not real easy. But love is basically meeting needs, and the kind of love we're talking about is God's love, which is unconditional. And we've got to remember that love is not based on performance, but on the person. If God looked at me just for my performance, he would have put me on the shelf probably an awful long time ago. But he doesn't. He looks at me for my potential. He looks at me for, there's a little girl at our church that has, she's a crippled little girl. But she's one of the healthiest, happiest little girls. And we have a little, it's sort of like a little Christian Boy Scout, Girl Scouts called Awanas. I don't know if you all have ever heard of it. And right now we have something like almost 60 kids in this program. And this little girl wants to play in the games with everybody else. And sometimes the other little kids haven't really wanted her on their team because having her on their team cost them from winning because she's crippled and she can't run. And some of the games involve, you know, but she tries. And she does it, but very slow. Another child will be there and back before she ever even gets there. But you know what's so neat is that you watch her and you just look at her heart and you look at her potential. You don't, it's not because of what she's doing or the fact that she's accomplishing great things, because she's really sort of failing in one respect but achieving gloriously in another, because she's trying. That's how God looks at us. So our love for our kids must be unconditional, not based on performance, but on the person. There are two real important things you can give your child when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty. And all these things, these practical things, if you get to know God personally and do these two other things, all these things are going to ultimately be worked through. And one is to give your child yourself as a healthy parent. And secondly, to give them a healthy respect for the other parent. That's dealing, one of a single gal made this comment, and I thought it was terrific. When we were talking about having a healthy respect for the other parent, she said, you know, you can afford to be gracious when it's for your child's sake. And I thought, wow, what wisdom. What wisdom. And I have dealt with this little gal, one gal in particular, since she was 14 years old, and she's now in her 30s. I've known her since way before she was married. I wasn't too excited about the guy she married. And it didn't work out. And I wound up, she and two other gals got divorces all at the same time, and they all had one child. And they came to me and they said, would you do a Bible study with me? And I said, I will. And I don't mind, you know, we need to talk about our problems and where we are, but we don't need to center in on it. And I'll do it as long as we center in on the Lord. And we did a Bible study called Experiencing God, Experiencing the Presence of God. And we worked at that study for 9 months, and I saw some real healing come through that because they looked at God instead of just where they were. But you, and that's the same little gal says, you can afford to be gracious when it's for your child's sake. Some just real practical things there. Don't talk about your ex-spouse in areas of conflict. It isn't that you can't. I don't mean don't talk about them, but don't labor over them. Don't be vindictive. Don't be bitter. Don't be afraid to share the past good times with your child. There are good things that happen. I would think there would be for you to marry him. And there were some good things there to share. And don't compete. Now, the other spouse may be competing, but there's a point where you have to let that be their problem. But you don't have to compete. This same little gal made the comment, and I thought this was great. She said to her little boy, she said, you know who loves you the most? Well, you know, basically your real reaction is Mama does. And she said, you know who loves you the most? God does. I love you. Dad loves you. But God loves you the most. And that's what she wants to communicate to this young boy. He's now about 9, 10 years old. And he's got a healthy attitude towards both parents. And one of the parents hadn't been real splendiferous. I have to be real honest. He really hadn't. But this little girl has kept a right attitude. And it's been a healthy attitude. You've got to deal with unforgiveness. You've got to deal with bitterness. And you've got to deal with anger. Or it's really going to poison not only your lives, but your children. I have come through some real bitter experiences with some other people. And I don't want to fall back in that hole again. That was no fun. Lasted me several years. And I was not a happy person. And it affected a lot of relationships. It affected my kids just because it was eating at me. I think you have to deal with, just like this first guy I told you about that has the boy that's now 13, she has to deal with forgiveness with herself for the mistake that she made. And realize, you know, we can go to God, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can know that's true. But isn't it amazing, lots of times we'll say, well, God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. Well, what you're really saying is, you know, I'm more of a God than God is. Or God's forgiveness is not sufficient enough, and it is. His forgiveness is sufficient, and it's cleansing, and it's whole. And it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Boy, that's good news for me. We've dealt with people who, you know, whether they come through prostitution or having child out of wedlock or divorce or even death of a spouse. And knowing that in Jesus Christ, you're new people with new opportunities. You're in a single parent situation, but God is sufficient and he is forgiving. But all these things, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, and the anger, literally can get an iron grip on your life. And it's devastating. And God wants you to be healthy. You have to deal with the guilt. Past relationships. One gal said, she said, I have to deal with the guilt that I can't be home with my children every day. But God's not handicapped. That's all I know. God is not handicapped. There comes that point where you have to be gone. You're the breadwinner of the family. You have to be providing for the children. You have to take that child, maybe if they're at a younger age, to a daycare center. And then when they're older, you know, maybe they're able to be home by themselves. But I believe God is sufficient. I see that in his word, and I've not found where he said I'm not sufficient in a single home situation. Like I say, that's why it was exciting to me where he said I not only am sufficient, I put my son in a single home. I'm that sufficient. God can change a curse into a blessing. Deuteronomy 23:5, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. That's the second time that we've read that God loves us. Isaiah 43:4 says, because you are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. That mate may not love you anymore, but God loves you. And the only way that's going to become real to you is if you let God become real to you. I would just ask, in these areas, are you really willing to be healed? Remember in old John 5, 5th chapter of John, there was a man who was sick for 38 years. And Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? And in Amplified it says, are you really in earnest about getting well? If I am in earnest about getting well, I have to admit my hatred, my hurt, my resentment, and I need to ask forgiveness and not be chained to the past. God tells you, I have, in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you believe that? That's what God says in his word. Whether a mate's there or not, I have plans for you, and they are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. John 10:10b says, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And all of this is regardless of circumstances. The circumstances do not dictate God. and his sufficiency. I am accepted because Jesus Christ accepts me. It tells me in Ephesians 1:6, I struggled with self-worth for years. Had a terrific battle with it, and the tendency is still there. I can get in a group of people and feel very insecure. But God tells me in Ephesians 1:6, he has made us acceptable in the Beloved. And then Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you to the glory of God. I accept the fact that I'm a single parent. I accept the fact that my mate is no longer here. And I accept the fact that I have these children. Someone made the comment, and I loved it. It says, if you're on the cross, you can't look back. If I come to the cross of Jesus Christ and if I'm there with him, I just have a forward vision. That's good news. The past doesn't have to defeat me, and it doesn't have to discourage me, and it doesn't have to cause me unhealth. One of the things you've got, you know, one of the great things about Easter is that resurrection always follows crucifixion. If you have come through a crucifying time, resurrection always follows. You have a responsibility with your kids, and you have a choice. And I love it. Years ago, I love to play with words, and I got to looking at the word responsibility, and he said, you know what that is your response to my ability. Responsibility is your response to God's ability. You've got a great responsibility with your kids. You've got a 16-year-old. That's a great responsibility. But it's your response to God's ability. God knows how to handle a 16-year-old. He knows how to enable you, to equip you, to deal with a 16-year-old. My dad thought 16 was a disease. He thought it was wonderful to go from 12 to 20 or something exciting like that. And we had some real struggles with our daughter when she reached that age. We did not with our son. But God is able, and he's the enabler. A lot of people don't like the term enabler because of the drug culture and sort of the connotation it's gotten from that, but I love it. God enables me to be a parent to my children. And that's what I heard someone say. He said, it's not so much about, boy, I have to be both mom and dad. Because he said, you don't. You just have to be a parent. You just have to be a parent to that child. So you've a responsibility and you've a choice. And it's your choice whether you're whole or not. A husband leaving you, or not having a husband, or leaving through death, doesn't have to make that choice for you. You're whole because of what you choose to be. In Psalm 25:12-13, it says, where is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him how to choose the best. He shall live within God's circle of blessing, and his children shall inherit the earth. If you've never really read the Old Testament, and I tell you the book that I love, the book that shows that Jesus walked through, the book he quotes from the most is Deuteronomy. And through there, it's fantastic. You read it, and it says, if you obey God, not only do you profit by it, but your children profit by it. That goes all through the Scriptures. If you obey God, you profit, your children profit. You want to do the best thing for you. You know, you could sit and we could go through all little rules and all little fun things, but it boils down, those are just the surface. And if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, it's me obeying God is the best thing for my children. Satan would love to keep us in a state of being overwhelmed, because when we're overwhelmed, we're ineffective. Or so he would have us believe. You know what you have? You have today. This September and October are overwhelming months to me. It seemed I do book work for a church and a Christian school, and there's a lot of book work as it's closing out for the year as well as for the month and everything, and it just seems like there are more speaking engagements and things like that this time. And there are times I look at September and October and I think, I cannot do it. There's no way I can do this. And God says, Tommy, all you have is today. With your kids, I'd submit that to you. What you have is today. Enjoy today with them. Just take each day by itself. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, do not lose heart. We are being renewed day by day. Day by day. The attitude that is going to help your children the most is the attitude of Jesus Christ. That comes from Philippians 2:5-8, and it says he emptied himself. In essence, he died to self and became alive to God. John 3:30 says, he might increase that I might decrease. Just consider the cost. I've labored over this with you all, and you probably wonder, what in the world does all this have to do? But I feel like if you get that area in perspective, it's amazing to me how some of the others come into shape. I want to read what this girl wrote, just some of the things she wrote here. She wrote me a terrific letter about her experience being unmarried and having this child. And she put down several things here. She said, things I wish I would have known then, things I didn't have, things not to do, things I'm thankful for, things I regret. One, she says, on things I wish I would have known then, she says, it's okay to ask for help without feeling guilty. It's okay to accept help without feeling guilty. She said, I wish I would have known how to budget the money I had. Just real practical. If that's a problem area, and it's a problem area with almost everybody anymore, there are people at, I would be for, are you all in this church? I would think there'd be someone in this church who could help you. Just really sit down and go over finances with you. I wish I would have known that being a good parent didn't depend on how well I provided. I wished I would have known how much small children remember and notice. I wish I would have known I was the most important person in my son's life, that I was important to God even though he wasn't to me. That was a significant comment. I wish I would have known that it was possible for me to be happy without a man in my life. I wish I would have known that I didn't have to bear all the burden on my shoulders. And then she said, don't expect another person to make you happy. Don't expect money to make you happy. Don't think that just because a child may be young in age that he won't know what's going on. Because she had things going on in her home that were not good for this child to be around. Don't ever stop hugging your kids or touching them and telling them that you love them. It's too easy to lose touch with them and them with you. In the blackest of times, I wish I had thanked God for the blessings he had given me. Things like, so she said, what I'm reading all this to you for is that this may be something therapeutic for you to do. To sit down and just write where you are before the Lord. Things I'm thankful for, my children, who give my life a purpose when I can't see any other. My family, all of them from whom I have learned so much, God, and that he loves me and has forgiven me for all my mistakes. The fact that I didn't get AIDS or any other horrible disease or die from alcoholism or overdose. Another thing I'm thankful for, my son turning out to be a wonderful, loving person who's kind and sensitive and funny and strong and who loves me in spite of all my mistakes. I hope she's told him that. I hope she's told him that she thinks he's wonderful and loving and kind and sensitive and funny and strong. Things I regret, not taking the time to enjoy my son being a young child, dragging him through my relationships with boyfriends, marrying a man who wasn't always kind to us and who wasn't a Christian, not being more patient, not taking care of myself. And she started talking about insurance and wills. And that's something just very practically I would encourage you to look into or to get some counsel on is adequate insurance. And that, most of the time, what's my term? Not whole life insurance, but what's the other term of insurance? Term insurance. That's it. All right. term insurance.
That's a real practical insurance for you. You can get good coverage at a low cost. And a will. A will is real important for a single parent. If I had it to do over again, and she goes into different things on this, just things that she would share, you know, just the mistakes she's made. But one of the things she said here, she said, I would find some support group, preferably in a church or a Bible study, and other single moms. Get help with making out a budget, including insurance, taking care of myself physically, medically. Just the very practical things that she sat and wrote down, and I thought this was terrific that she did this and shared it with me. The other thing, and it's in your, it's, let me see on what page here, and I'll just share these with you real quick. On the blessing, on page 3, if you all can't afford those books out there, let me know. If you can, maybe one of you buy one and one buy another. This is a book I'd read. Were you looking at this book yesterday?
No, I have the book.
Okay, you have the book.
I had it for months.
Okay. This is a dynamic book. It really is, it's talking about extending the elements of affirmation, commitment, and encouragement. And of course, what you'd be really interested is with your children. There may not be a lot that we can maybe do financially for our kids. You know, we may feel there are lacks that we can't provide for them, and that maybe some, what we consider complete families. Don't ever consider yourself not a complete family. Really, truly don't. Just like parents, you know, or a couple who doesn't have children, they're not incomplete. You're not incomplete. The only thing that makes you incomplete is if Jesus Christ is not in your life. You are complete. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. But this book, The Blessing, let me just give you a few little things that you can write down on there while I have that written down in your handout. The 5 basic parts to the blessing. 1 is the meaningful touch. This is kissing, hugging, touching, communicating warmth, personal acceptance, and affirmation. That 16-year-old boy, he may not like it, but you put your arms around him and hug him.
He allows it.
Isn't that neat? Do you know what my 24-year-old said? Of course, he wasn't going to bother to get up when we were leaving to come here Friday morning. And he said, but Mom, before you leave, will you come in and just lean over and kiss me? And tell me goodbye? You know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes there's a part of me that thinks, that's so silly. And then I get to thinking, no, that's not really silly. He has a deal up on our refrigerator. It says, have you hugged your kid today? You know, he'd buy bumper stickers and put them on every car, every window, everything we own about. Have you hugged your kid today? Nick wants to be touched. It's so important to him. And then a spoken message. Words of acceptance and love. How important to verbalize our message. Communication. You know what communication does? You're telling your kids, you are worthy of my attention. You are worthy of my attention. You know, 2 of the best times for communication. 1 is bedtime, because they really don't want to go to bed, so you've sort of got their undivided attention. I don't care what age they are. And the other is when you're in a car. That's why I love to go with my husband. When he has to travel to the country, I plan my time around his time, and I pack up and I go in a car with him. No radio, no telephone, no other people. And you know what you do? You communicate. You don't just talk. You communicate, or else it's a long, boring trip. And that's true with our kids. Verbalize your message to them. And then attaching high value, recognizing that this person, these children are valuable and have redeeming qualities. And remember, it's based on who they are, not simply on their performance. Your kids are going to not please you at times. But one thing that's going to help you remember is who they are.
in their performance doesn't matter. Sometimes performance gets real bad. I tell you, I don't think I'd want to be a teenager or a kid today. It scares me what my grandchildren, the world they're growing up in. That's why it's so important that I know Jesus Christ and I share him with them. I can't always be with them, but Jesus can. And he can cause them to make right decisions. Picture a special future for your children. What this is really saying is believe your children have a special future and great potential before them. In other words, encourage and keep them, not keep them, help them set meaningful goals. Convey to them that the gifts and character traits that they have right now are attributes that God can bless and use in the future. They have value to them. They have something to contribute to this world. Help them. Help them find, what are their likes? Where are their strengths? Get to know your child that you can help find this. You know what? Mick right now is floundering. He's graduated from college, but he doesn't know what he wants to do. He really can't find employment. There's some physical reasons there. He has some medical problems. But as a whole, he's a good performer. But he's really laboring right now. But you know where his strengths are? Like I said earlier, with older people and with children. Now, I'm not totally sure how to channel Mick. He knows this, and like he works at the church nursery, and he helps out the kids, and they all call him Uncle Mickey, and he's like the Pied Piper on Sunday at church. And they love him. Somehow, some way, God's going to use that in Mick's life. He may never marry. Doctors told us that he may never really be able to, just emotionally and maturity-wise. He may never be able to. But he has a special place and a special value in this world, and God's going to use him. More than likely, he's just going to be an uncle to an awful lot of kids, and he's going to make a lot of older people feel that life's worthwhile. And we just need to try to help him find that niche to picture this special future for him. And then an active commitment. This is your responsibility. Words alone cannot communicate the blessing. They need to be backed with where you can help them do everything possible to accomplish what they need to accomplish in their life. Our commitment must match our words. In other words, be on that person's team. Be on your child's team. When they come home and they have great dreams and desires, don't be a dream buster. You know what Mick's dream is to have a memorabilia store. You know, of course, they pop up all over the place, but that's what he wants, is a memorabilia store. Well, right now, we don't have the finances to do that for him. Plus, I don't think it should just be done for him. I think that's something that he can work towards, and that's what we encourage him. Mick, that may not be God's total goal for you. It may be that you will be doing something else, but that you can maybe even do that on the side. We, matter of fact, have a friend of ours in our church that has a CPA degree and a lawyer's degree and he has something like 5 degrees, but he owns the old ballpark, which is a memorabilia store. You know, and that was a dream of his, and he ultimately got it done. But if you can extend the blessing to your children, you will get the blessing through God. You may feel you have not been blessed because a spouse has left you. But God can bless you. He can heal the hurt. He can make you whole. And instead of seeing what I didn't receive, I can start seeing what I do receive in Jesus Christ and the privilege that he gives me in the lives of these children he's given me. That I can extend his blessing to these children. If you can't buy this book and you want it, you just come tap me on the shoulder and I'll get it for you. It's a terrific book. And this little book, A Hug, A Kiss, and A Kick in the Pants, let me just share quickly. There are just some precious, precious little things in here. This sheet, the second sheet I gave you on discipline, you can certainly read that. There's nothing that I need to add to that. Because I wrote it all out because I didn't know that we'd get to need it. Discipline is so important. in our kids' lives. This little book just gives creative alternatives to physical spanking. It's a little hard to spank a 16-year-old. Don't think they'd handle that real well. But you know what I did with my 24-year-old? Silly little thing, but he doesn't. There's a chapter in here on consequences. Mick doesn't like to make his bed. And with this medical problem he has, Mick is very clean personally. He has very clean personal habits. But his room is a pit. And doctors said this is typical of people with Mick's problem. That they can just live in a pigsty, but they know where everything is. And they don't throw anything away. But his sister finally came over and helped him organize his room. And bless his heart, he's doing a good job with it. But he wouldn't make his bed. So I walked by there one day and I saw this unmade heap. And Mick was stretched out watching TV, and I went in there and I said, you know, you have a choice. You can make your bed, or one of two things will happen. If you don't make your bed, if I happen to see it, I'm going to strip it down to the mattress and throw it on the floor. Or there'll be no TV for 24 hours. And he said, oh. I said, what choice do you want? He said, well, I think I'd rather you strip my bed. I said, okay, if your bed's not made, that's what I'll do. And that was all that we said. And it was really said and sort of fun and, you know, good relationship. His bed has been made every day since then. And I walked up to him. This had been like a week and a half ago. And I walked up to him and I said, Mick, I really want you to know. Made a point of touching him. That's what the blessing says, and besides that, that's what Mick wants. And I touched him. I said, I really want you to know I appreciate you making your bed like that. And he says, well, Mom, you always do what you say. I don't like to make a bed, and if it were all thrown on the floor, I'd have to, you know, make it all up. He said, so I'm doing it because I know you'd carry through. Important thing. When you give consequence, and that's really the best way to deal with older children. And Mick's 24, but he's still very much... There's still not much of sense he's under our authority. But you need to carry out what you're going to say. Our grandchildren have learned that. I'm very capable of disciplining grandchildren, even though I love them to pieces and just eat them up with a spoon. But I'm very capable of using discipline with them. There's a chapter in here on learning to say yes instead of no. And that isn't permissiveness. What it is, our youngest grandchild is 3 years old, and we were at McDonald's, and he was sitting by me. Why? McDonald's, you know, they must have a terrific advertising campaign. They have all the kids in this United States brainwashed that that's the only place to eat. That's one of the first words that all of our kids learned, you know, and the sign that they recognized was McDonald's. And anyway, Jordan and I were sitting there, and he had about half his hamburger left, but he had the little, what do you call the little gift box that you, you know, the
Happy meal,
thank you. And so he had his little package of two cookies. And he said, Grandma, would you open my cookies? Well, normally my reaction is, no, not right now, honey. You haven't eaten your hamburger. Well, after reading this book, I said, yes, I'll open your cookies after you finish your hamburger. He was totally content. Where he's the type of child where he hears no from you, his reaction quite often is to be upset. And I thought, that works. How neat. Just learning to say yes, but still accomplishing the same thing. And then there's a chapter in here that applies with all age children on filling their love cup. And particularly with Jordan, this little three-year-old, he had gotten up one morning, I don't think on the wrong side of the bed, I think he got up underneath the bed. He was a ringtail toot, and it was like 9:30 in the morning, and Diana was ready to just... put him outside and locked the door. And she remembered this book. And he was acting abominable. And she reached over and pulled him into her lap. And she said, Jordan, I just need to love you. And she just held him and loved him and patted him and told him how much she loved him. She spent 3 or 4 or 5 minutes with him. She called me later that day. She said, you won't believe what a good day this has been with Jordan. She said,
that book works. There are so many positive ways. And it isn't that there might be, I mean, what he was doing required discipline. And sometimes it might have to be a physical discipline. But she said it worked to fill his glove cup. Most children act up, and I don't care what their age. My 24-year-old. They want attention. And they need, desperately, desperately need our attention. If they don't get our attention, they're going to get somebody else's. And that's really when they begin to get in trouble. They need our attention.
You can reverse the role in that situation. With my daughter, I'll send her, when she's being a two, or she's upset, or mad, and I say, honey, do you know what I need a hug so badly. And I need one of you.
Excellent.
And that works.
Okay, reversing it where you tell them you need the affection from them and the hug. That's excellent. It's I hear everybody out there, and it's time to quit. I would encourage you on these books. I hope that this has been some encouragement. The only thing I know to share with anybody is Jesus Christ. He has changed my life so totally. And he's the only thing I know to give you that can make things work out. Let's just close in prayer, okay? Lord Jesus, you are sufficient. You are able and the enabler. God, I wish we had had time that we could have sat and just talked back and forth, Lord, just shared. I would just ask that you maybe give us that opportunity later or certainly bring into these gals' lives someone that they might sit with and just really be able to bounce things off of them, Lord. Let them find that most of all they can do this with you. That you can take us right where we are, Lord. We can spell things out before you and say a spade's a spade. We don't have to hide anything from you and that you accept us as we are. Just strengthen us, Lord. Enable us to look to you and find your sufficiency. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.